bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God!
Deep to right field, way up there, and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run, grand slam.
Hello and welcome in everyone to episode 161 of the Bases Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your host Mike Kurland. You can follow me on Twitter at Mike_Kurland. Tonight, the boys are back in town. We have George. You can follow him on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. And we have the special guest of the evening. And I feel like there's a special way to do it. I got it. This is for you, George. Not George, sorry. I'm already missing names. This is for you. It's been a while, but we welcome him back to the show, Zach Braff. Not Scrub Zach Braff. That was for you, buddy. It's time.
I don't even know what the hell that was.
That was Bruce Buffer saying it's time because it's time to bring you back on the show.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
We have not missed
man.
A beat at all.
You know what?
Move this man.
There it is.
There we go. That's what I was thinking.
I thought that's what we know him for here.
I thought Boo This Man was coming as well.
No. I was trying to be welcoming to Zach, our biggest guest that we've had in ages. No, Zach, obviously you have not podcasted with George and I. Me and George have barely podcasted. I know I haven't been feeling it for the better part of almost this whole year, but we're going to try again. We keep going through this episode now, so we plan on trying again. But anyways, Zach, what's up, man?
Not much, guys. It's been a long time. It's good to see you both. Good to chat with you. Last year was just, I don't know, it's just a weird year, just kind of lost a lot of interest in baseball, and life just took over, and I don't know. It was a weird year. Just took some time off from doing all this, and hopefully I'll get back into it a little bit once the season gets rolling here. But hey, we still talk every day. We just haven't really podcasted in a while, and yeah, this is the first time in a while, and hopefully we'll get back into it more consistently.
Yeah, this is the first time George and I have spoke since, like, in person anyway, since FPAS. And, in person as much as you can be. We're on Skype. But it's been FPAS was awesome. It was definitely an amazing time. And this, I thought I was going to light that fire under me to get, and it did for, like, a day. And then, and then I realized, well, I was telling you guys, so I'll just be a little upfront. No one really cares, I'm sure. If you want to skip past this, probably skip up another 2 minutes and we'll get started with the content. We're talking about, we're kind of just dipping our toes in early ADP, the first 50 picks. We're going to go through some of the names, players that interest us, don't interest us, what our early thoughts are. The best part about this is Zach is playing the part of unprepped analyst because he showed up tonight. He's like, look, man, I just want to kind of hang out and talk. I'm like, perfect. Come on in. This is the first time looking at ADP. Me, George has been drafting. I've been looking at ADP. I haven't been drafting yet, but I will be drafting soon because it helps me with my draft prep, actually. But regardless, so we're kind of going to get into that. But back to my story, because tangent time with Mike has to happen. It's long story short. Essentially, I realized the years and years of grinding doing this stuff. Like, and here comes my little violin, because, you know, I just, my little swan song. I just realized kind of need to prioritize other things and put that extra effort and time into other things, mostly my family. And now it's like, instead of getting on for the extra podcast, or instead of getting the extra article in, I'm over here writing less, podcasting less, but prioritizing things that really matter to me. So appreciate
family
those
first, man.
Yeah, and it took me 3 years to realize that.
Everybody kind of knows just like how much, you know, that you've worked, how much that you grind, and everything that, you know, you get involved in and stuff. So I mean, totally understandable. You know, I think we all kind of hit that low a little bit. Just
not
with,
you.
With
you're
baseball.
A machine.
George is a big shot now.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
I saw you on two pot. Like, my favorite part is when I go to my Apple podcast app, open it up, and it says blank podcast with George Montanez. Blank podcast with George Montanez. George, you're making your way around. But no, it's been awesome just watching George kind of almost pick up where I left off and just took off with it. And he hasn't stopped since. You are the grind master? Question mark. That sounds terrible, but we're going to go with it, man. Mr. Grindmaster.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad to be back talking with you guys. I mean, Mike, it was so cool to meet you in person in Arizona. We had a really good time. So, Zach, you got to make it out there next time because FPAS was amazing.
I've heard some really good things. I didn't realize that people were calling it FPAS. I didn't know that was a thing. I thought it was just First Pitch Arizona, but I will try to make it out to FPAS next year.
FPAS is way easier to say. And if you make it out there, cool kids, great. The cool kids, it's more fun.
But no, I was George. He's making the rounds on podcasts. And like you said, Mike, I mean, I'm going into this kind of blind. I really haven't done too much draft prep yet, but I've been in the car a lot more recently. I have been listening to a bunch of podcasts, been listening to the podcast that George was on. Our buddies Deebs and Ryan, they have a podcast, which I've been listening to. It's really good, really good stuff, really funny stuff, informative stuff from Ryan and Deebs.
From Ryan.
I'll tell you, man. I was in the car today, and Deeks was just dropping one-liners, and I was just cracking up as I'm in the car.
I love just it. Compared, no, those guys, compared, man.
He yeah, compared somebody to a potted plant today. I was like, what the hell is this?
One of the best things that came out of the quarantine was meeting those guys. You know, we got a chance to meet. That's where we met them playing MLB The Show.
Yeah, we were playing MLB The Show with them like every night.
And then the website, kind of like the initial attempt at a website, and that they brought them along. And so, you know, we every so often we hang out, we talk. And those two guys, man, I try to support their work as much as possible. They support ours. Just good people. So I'm trying to remember the name of the podcast. Next on Deck podcast.
Maybe? Yeah, Next on Deck.
Yeah,
I thought so.
And I think Ryan started his call to the armbar. And I've been texting him like recently because we're in a DC together. We happen to get slotted right next to each other, so we've been cursing each other out every now and then because he knows everybody who I like, and I like everyone. I know everyone who he likes, so we've just been sniping each other.
You guys are drafting right next to each other.
Yeah, he's seventh, I'm eighth.
So, question, Zach. We're about to get started here. I told people they should have fast-forwarded it to about right now anyway. Let's be honest. This is the time of the year where we can have some small talk. Normally, the small talk doesn't come along and stick around this early or this long in a pod. But realistically, what? You record an hour's pod or so, people are going to listen multiple times, multiple parts, because content is kind of
people aren't listening multiple times.
Well, not multiple times. People are going to listen to, like, if it's an hour and a half, we'll listen to half now, half later is what I'm getting at. Just because they have the time to do so. You can, right now is the time where you get to listen to a podcast and enjoy it. Soak it in, because there's not 15 podcasts covering waiver wire in the same week anymore. You know what I mean? This isn't that time of the year. Instead, we have 15 podcasts covering all the signings. That's why we're skipping it. Not because we can't add to it, but because it's all
been said already.
And don't get me wrong, what we're going to say is going to be talked about too, but we're just trying to talk about something different because we are consumers too. We listen to what everyone else listens to. We hear what people are saying. I don't want to repeat it. I don't feel like I feel like we can add little to it, if anything. So we can go on to this. So ADP, we're literally just looking at NFBC ADP. We're sticking with the top 50 today. Again, we're dipping our toes in the water. And then
didn't
we
you
have
ask me a question, by the way? Wasn't there a question you just completely left me hanging, or no?
Probably. No idea, but more than likely, because I don't care about you.
I got a question for you, Zach, and now I don't care anymore.
He's laughing at me. He's laughing at me because he's like, just let's go. Okay, we're going
to
go.
Just stop rambling. Let's get to it.
Okay. Tatis, Turner, 1 and 2 seem to be the consensus. You have Soto with a min pick of 1, but average pick in like 3.5, so he's obviously the clear number 3 here right now. Do you agree with this top 2, I should say? Well, we can talk about the third pick in general, but Tatis, Turner, do you have a preference? Zach, looking at this for the first time, I know George has a more educated answer, so I'm gonna start with you, Zach. Just looking at it, first time looking at it. Yes, that was a dig at Zach again. What are you thinking, buddy?
So, I mean, I'm just looking at this top 10. I mean, we did a lot of...
Ignore my top 2 part. Go to
no, I'm going to sure. get to the top 2. I'm just saying. this looks very different than what we were going over going into the 2020 season. Or 2021 season last year. I mean, Trey Turner was much further down, and now he's top 2.
Where he should have been last year, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I love the landing spot. I love him in the Dodgers lineup. I love the positional flexibility now that he's second base eligible. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I mean, I guess there's still a lot of concerns with Tatis with the shoulder and how he elected to not have surgery. It sounds like he does not want to play outfield. So, I mean, he's going to kind of be in the same situation as last year, back at shortstop and just kind of going all out. And I don't know, I guess at the top pick, that might be a little bit of a concern of mine. So, I don't know. Trey Turner is definitely in consideration for the top pick, and even Soto. I mean, if it's an OBP league, you got to go Soto number one, I would think, right?
OBP, I'd say so, unless you want speed that bad, but I'd still prefer to set the high base in OBP and address speed next round if I can. But it also depends for me personally, 15 versus 12 teamers. NFBC, especially right now, it's mostly draft champions leagues. I'm pretty sure that's all it is right now, actually. Maybe something, or there's some 12 teamers out there, right? But yeah, it's mostly 15 teamers. We've had 27 drafts as of right now, as we're looking at this ADP. And yeah,
that's it's really just so personal really preference matter. At the top.
I'm sorry?
Just personal preference at the top.
We can't well, go if you were picking that, number one right now, I'm putting you on the clock. Who are you taking?
I probably would go Trey Turner right now.
I concur with that statement, sir. George, do you have anything to say? What's up? Do you have anything to say about the top two? Like, is there a preference there for you? Is there somebody you'd add to the mix?
No, I mean, I think I've pretty much just seen Tatis and Turner go, you know, one and two and in either order. In every draft, and I totally get it. I mean, Turner with, you know, they both have multi-position eligibility with Tatis with shortstop and outfield, Turner with second base and shortstop. That's huge. And, you know, these drafts that are going on right now that are mostly, you know, draft and holds where, you know, you can't make pickups. So that position flexibility is huge. Now, you know, I think, you know, last year and maybe even the year before, we could have seen like, we could see like, you know, Gerrit Cole or Corbin Burnes going number one right now. But I think the depth of pitching this year, or at least the perceived depth of pitching right now, you know, you're not really seeing Cole and Burnes or Burnes going number one because of the guys you can get like in the 2-3 turn. So yeah, totally get it. You know, first few picks, you want to solidify that, you know, 5x5, the 5 category base. For me, you know, I don't think I'm going to be changing my KDS at all this year. You know, I want the top pick. I want Tatis. I want Turner. I want a Bichette or a Jose Ramirez, you know, one of those guys that could really solidify, give you, you know, that solid power and speed base. And then you could absolutely get some aces still coming back in the 2-3 turn. So, yeah, for me, the early picks are, you know, where it's at. And even if I'm picking in the middle, I mean, you know, you take a guy like Bryce Harper or you go ahead and take a Burnes or a Cole. I mean, you really can't go wrong.
I agree. I'm with you with like the top 9 and 10 picks. That 10 pick right now, Acuña sitting there with the 10th overall ADP. I think we're seeing more and more videos. Like I was watching a video of him just throwing long toss and I was like, oh my goodness, he's back. And obviously he has a lot farther to go, but it's like, we're going to start seeing him hit off a tee. We're going to start seeing him hit live batting practice. And I'm willing to take the plunge. I think at the end of the first, I just have a hard time taking him over Harper because Harper is obviously the MVP, reigning MVP, continues to show consistent 5 category production. So like right now, someone who's healthy, like if I'm drafting right now, I think I would slot Harper over him. Betts, I'm torn on, and that's where it gets kind of in, like iffy for me. Right. It's like, do I want to take the risk on an Acuña? Because if Acuña is slated to be there for spring training or even be part of spring training, maybe miss half of April, maybe only 2 or 3 weeks, his ADP is going to jump up 5 spots. He's going to be a top 3 to 5 pick at that point. And this is where the discount, it's either a discount now or I don't think the price is going to change. Like people right now are drafting with the idea that he's going to miss about a month, right? Like that's been the reports anyway.
Yeah. You kind of, you know, if he misses a month, I mean, then, you know,
all about replacement.
You want to take 5 months of, 5 months of Ronald Acuña or 6 months of Bryce Harper?
Does Acuña run as much though?
Right. And
that's the thing.
You know, Harper's going to give you 12 to 15 steals. You know, he's not a zero there in that category. So, yeah, I think, you know, those first 8-9 picks that I want one of those picks. Once you get past that, you got, you know, some question marks you're looking at. Yeah, Ronald Acuña. Now, I love Kyle Tucker. You know, he's going there, but like Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, Mike Trout, Brandon Woodruff, you know, it's just, yeah, if you can start with one of those guys that just fill up the stat sheet and then come back around in the end of the second with, you know, guys who I think are still, you know, aces, like, you know, sometimes Brandon Woodruff is going there or Zach Wheeler or Aaron Nola. I'm really high on Sandy Alcantara. I think I'd have no problem taking him in the mid to late second. He's not going there. He's going a lot later right now. But yeah, I mean, I just think that the depth of the, you know, top end pitching just kind of solidifies where I want to be drafting right now, and that's in those top five, six.
I've noticed in some of your drafts that strategy that you're talking about. I mean, this is very different from last year, where a lot of guys were going with DeGrom or Cole and Bieber in the first round. And like you said, I mean, I would fill up the stat sheet with offense at this point very early, solidify some stolen bases, and there really are some good pitchers in the second, even the third round. Some guys, like you were saying, I mean, Bieber has fallen all the way down to what? He's about 28. You got Urias down there as well. Giolito and Nola were second round pitchers last year, and they're now going in the probably around the third round at this point. So some guys definitely dropped last year. And it's also just because some other guys really just had such good years that they skyrocketed to the top. So it seems like there is some very strong pitching early in the first few rounds here. So I agree with you, man. I like the strategy of attacking hitting in the first and even maybe in the second round and then starting to go pitching. You could definitely find some good gems in there.
If you went hitter at the end of a 15 rounder, you'd be looking at names roughly Sandy Alcantara, Sale. Let's see.
Julio Urias.
Gossman. I always call him Gossman. It's Gossman, isn't it? Or Gossman. That always
Gossman.
Peralta.
Logan Webb.
Like, I don't know if I see. That's the problem. I don't know if I feel comfortable with any of those guys being my ace. Flaherty, a healthy Flaherty looked amazing last year, but I don't know if I want him to be my number one. And that's where it's like Lance Lynn, like, you're getting those are a little behind those other names. If you're like your best case scenario, you might see Nola going around ADP of 38, a low pick of 58. He'd be like your best bet. Him or Giolito would be like your best case scenario falling to the end of the third. And as but we all know, pitchers are going to get hurt or have setbacks or something as we get closer to the season. Pitching's going to get pushed up like it always does. So yes, now is the time to play around and be like, you know what, maybe I can go hitter and see what happens. Or and but that's back to your point, George. Being in the first half of the draft, even the first top 10 picks. Gives you the luxury of going hitter because you know you can probably get a Giolito or Nola in the third, and right, that's nice. Yeah. Like, me personally, I'm good with that as my ace. I'm good with one of those guys as my ace. I really am.
Yeah, and looking at this current ADP, like for me, the cutoff is number 42 ADP of 42 Sandy Alcantara. Now I did one of my DCs.
Simeon hates you already.
One of my DCs I did. I started from the two spot and I started Tatis. And then I went Alcantara and Nola at the 2-3 turn. And I'm like perfectly happy with that. You know, got my two aces that I got my innings right there. You know, I got, you know, 400 innings. And we obviously know what Nola's upside is. And we've seen, you know, Alcantara make those changes that really, you know, he flashed some serious skills in this last, you know, 2 months. Last 80 innings were incredible. Now, if he doesn't necessarily need to be that pitcher, but if he could meet, you know, somewhere in the middle, and it was, you know, the slider usage that really drove that strikeout spike in the last 2 months for Alcantara. But if he kind of regresses just a little bit there, if he's a strikeout per inning guy and I'm getting, you know, rock solid ratios, 200 innings, 200 strikeouts at the 2-3 turn, I'll take that all day. And I've even seen him falling, you know, middle of the third, end of the third. So, that's just kind of the trend.
I think the issue with Marlins pitchers are wins. And that would be the only thing you have to watch out for, because wins are still a category. And people are like, well, what should we replace it with? I don't have an answer for that. Quality starts is also a weird stat, because that gives you get a quality start with a 4.5 ERA. So it's like, that's dumb to me.
Sandy would be solid in quality
start. Yes, he would be. But you get my point. Like, I think wins are kind of, that's more of a team thing. But that's right. Like, a whole other discussion. What I do like,
I wouldn't even be worrying about that right now.
This is why I talk about top 50. I'm glad we went this route, because I didn't want to just talk about names and player evaluation. I want to talk about building teams. And you kind of build your core in that top 50. You kind of build your core on top 100, but since we're focusing on the top 50, we'll discuss some of these names, but like building your core out. And I mean, here's the thing. I love Alcantara and I love Julio Urias, actually. I really like him and his win potential is way better, but I don't know if it's a 12 pick difference better. Like they belong, like you're getting one where you have to take one in the second round. And like you said, Alcantara falls in the third. And I'm wondering if it's like, I would rank it pretty much like this. I just have a hard time taking Urias so early.
Right. Yeah. For me, I feel like, you know, those 20 wins really, just, I mean, those are incredibly valuable. But as a pitcher, did we see kind of I mean, we saw the breakout last year, but it, you know, I'm not so sure there's another level for Urias. I think where he's at, you know, is a rock solid pitcher, but you know, I could very well see him going in the same spot next year. And Alcantara, I mean, I think there's another level there with his potential where we can see him going where Zach Wheeler and Walker Buehler, you know, I'm not too sure there's going to be that much of a difference between those guys. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm seeing right now.
You mentioned the win total, Mike, for the for Sandy. I mean, it's not going to be 20 wins most likely like Urias, but the Marlins have made some interesting moves this offseason. They've got some young kids coming. I mean, I think it's going to be better than last year. I really
not,
like
don't
the
small offense. Obviously, yeah. Garcia is not enough offense. Jacob Stallings isn't enough offense, but Stallings, good defensive catcher. The pitching staff could be even better, which is
pitching
crazy.
Pitching staff could be better. They'll be healthy. I really like the Avi Garcia move. I think they still bring in somebody else. It's possible. Maybe Trevor Story.
Dude, I would love it. I mean, I know most Marlins fans would probably think it's a waste of money, but first off, it's not our money. Second off, I think the Marlins have the pitching. Like, you can argue, because the Mets obviously have Scherzer, DeGrom, Carrasco when healthy, and that's kind of it. And it's like, falls off the table. But the Marlins have such depth, and then they have the minor league depth to back up the major league depth. It's the pitching. There's an argument there that the Marlins starting staff is the best in the East. I know I'm being a little biased there, but
you're not biased. It's a strong staff, and there's more reinforcements
that's
coming
thing, like,
too.
Where you guys have this, you have the two. Like, there's no arguing. You have two of the top five pitchers in the league right now, top seven, whatever you want to call them.
Are they going to stay healthy?
That's the thing. DeGrom hasn't been able to stay healthy. Scherzer has had some hiccups with health, but I believe he'll actually stay healthy more likely than Carrasco. We all know him. Cookie crumbles, you know what I mean? It just happened. It's almost like when you dump him in milk too long, you pull him out and part of him falls off. Like that's that type of cookie he is right now in this day and age. So yes, I just compared Carrasco to a Chips Ahoy cookie and milk. But yes, that's why it's like you guys have the up. You it's almost like you went stud dud with your current rotation, and the Marlins are like all second to fifth round picks. Like they just have like that depth. And then you have guys like Elisur Hernandez. I can never say these guys' names right. You have Hernandez, you have Edward Cabrera, you have Max Meyer. Dude, you would think I don't know my team. I can't say their names. But you get my point. Like there's just pitching for pitching. And Lizardo. Can Lizardo be a thing? Sixto? Like I would love to see Lizardo develop a changeup. The Marlins have been doing great things with changeups in this.
I think this team is probably like 2 or 3 years away from like really being a force, but I think they could improve significantly
if
this
they
year.
Got Story. Let's say they get Story and then give them another couple like Avi type of moves. Wendell, which by the way, I love Joey Wendell, but I really like Meisner as well. So that really hurt me.
Joey Wendell's a nice utility man. That's a good, solid move.
Well, for the Marlins, he's probably going to start. And Wendell's like a good, like he doesn't strike out. He makes a ton of contact. I think he's going to end up being a top of the order bat. Him or Miguel Rojas, I don't know what's going to happen there in terms of like who's going to hit the top. Maybe they platoon the top with maybe Chisholm. It's going to help Chisholm because maybe they move Chisholm down to second or third, like give him more RBI opportunities. So I don't know. I'm really interested to see what happens.
This just became a Marlins podcast,
by the way. Right? Yeah. Yeah, we'll get on track right now, but I just wanted to go off topic just for a second. When you mentioned Cameron Misner, it reminded me at in Arizona when we're at the ball game and you're recording every single one of his at bats. You're so excited for this is your guy, this is your Marlins guy. You're recording every one of his at bats. The one that you miss, he goes deep.
It happened.
Why'd you miss it? Where'd you go?
I was every back because we had this. We were sitting on the third base side. He's a lefty, so we're getting you know open face mechanics kind of. I'm at a weird angle, but I'm getting good looks at his swings. And I'm like, man, he's gonna get. Like, I'm just waiting for him to get a hold of one. He finally does. It's in the ninth inning though, when we're all like done. Like I'm like we're all like at this point ready to go like go back to the place and you know. Go to the panels and stuff, and I put my phone down and missed.
Did you fall asleep?
No, not this time. I don't think I shut up. I think if anything, I passed out from talking too much and couldn't catch my breath.
You know, but the few podcasts that I listened to, and they were recapping FPAS. I don't feel comfortable saying FPAS. I wasn't there. I shouldn't be saying that. The podcast recapping First Pitch, and everybody was talking about you and just how you didn't shut up, basically. Your online persona is basically the same thing in person.
I'm not, I try to emphasize that I really am the same person. I wasn't kidding. Like, I'm a nice guy, but I do love talking a lot of smack, and I do love talking. I enjoy conversation. So when I get a chance to finally meet everybody in person, I'm like a dog with his tail wagging. Like, I'm just excited. I just want to talk to everybody. And then, you know, but then Mike, I think it was Simeon on one of the pods that said, oh, but when Mike was gone, it was quiet. And I'm like, he's like, he wasn't sure to if it was because everyone needed a break or because I really am a good conversation starter. Like, it's just a natural gift. I'm able to start one, keep one going. And when I can't, usually it's just because it's like a weird like mix. Like, I tried talking to a few people there. I just couldn't hold a conversation. But I did get Zola out of his shell a little bit. Like, Zola is kind of a keep to himself type of guy. I was trying to crack the shell a little bit there, but I definitely made him a little uncomfortable for sure. First night there.
Oh man.
I go around.
I think you made half of Arizona uncomfortable.
What?
I think you
what was that? I go around.
You made half of Arizona uncomfortable.
Yes. It was the mustache.
Your creepy selfies.
Well, the mustache and the bathing suit. You saw the bathing suit picture, right?
Oh, I saw it. We all saw it.
You can't miss it. It's a lot of Mike. Man.
Thank God you were wearing something underneath that. Weren't you wearing like shorts or something over shorts?
I had a towel over it.
You had a towel.
Okay, it was over a towel.
I was like, no, I wasn't wearing anything under it.
All right, anyways.
Anyway, back to ADP. Back to team build. If I can get back, it's so hard to rein it in, like reel it in there after the Marlins talks. Right, did they reel it in, Marlins? All right. I deserve that. I love how the cricket sounds like a squeaky bike wheel.
It sounds like a bird.
Those are crickets. Here. Better for my joke? Okay. Anyway, I have a question, though, going back to the top of this draft a little bit. Jose Ramirez, third baseman, min pick of 3, max of 9. I could see myself, if I get enough choices at the – if I was able to pick first, like in 2 or 3 drafts, I would take a shot with Jose at 1.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that. Yeah, no, see that? Not at all. I mean, he just given
third base is trash.
The third base, yeah, just given where third base is, and yeah, you're getting a guy that's, you know, 30-20, you know, not killing you in batting average. I mean, yeah, I could totally see Ramirez going number 1. I mean, I don't have a problem with, you know, him going anywhere in the top 3 and then followed by like Bichette. For me, those are like the top 4.
For me, JRAM is my number 3 overall. Like in my head, it's Turner, Tatis, JRAM for me. Then followed by Bichette. And see, I can't. Okay, Zach, are you touching Vlad in the top 5? He's going on average 5th overall, ahead of JRAM.
So I probably am not. I would take JRAM before Vlad. I could make a case for Vlad going 6 or 7, but top 5, I don't think I would take him top 5.
It's funny because Otani won the MVP and Vlad's beating him in the draft board. Now, do you prefer Vlad to Otani in this type of league where it's weekly and you don't get both sides of Otani's stats?
I had Otani last year in a weekly. It's tough.
Offense is legit, though.
Yeah. I mean, I think I played him maybe like once or twice as a pitcher last year in a weekly format. I mean, it's hard to predict when he's going to get... If he even does get a 2-start week, it's very rare that you'll see that from him. The league that I was playing in, it was a quality start league. So I know that I could most likely get that from him. But other than that, I mean, like you said, you're probably starting him as a hitter more often than not. I just don't love the idea of wasting my utility spot in the first round. I think I'd rather fill a position of need in this round. So I'm most likely not taking Otani this early. As much as I like him, it just feels very early. I probably would go Vlad over Otani, but I don't know. Otani is just such a dynamic player. He brings so much to the table. It's a fun little toy to have at your disposal, but I don't know. If I had the choice, I probably would go Vlad.
George.
What about you guys?
Yeah, I'll say George. Vlad first, Vlad or Otani second, if you pick Vlad. Well, we can talk about it regardless, but Otani in the first round in general, are you touching him in this top 7-8 area?
So I would go Ohtani over Vlad personally. I'd probably not taking Vlad just because I need to get some steals in the first round personally. So I would take Ohtani. I mean, if you you fill your utility spot, but I mean, you're getting 40-20, and I really do think that the nosedive in his batting average in the second half was really just the fact that he was the only hitter there for the Angels. I mean, nobody had any reason, you know, give him any pitch.
He had like a 19% walk rate in the second half. Something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're getting, you know, 40-20 potential, and I don't mind it. I mean, I'm not targeting Ohtani. I'm not like, you know, but if I'm there at 10, 11, we're around other guys that have other question marks as well. I mean, yeah, I'll take Ohtani.
Ohtani's low point is 15. I would love that. But I'm not anti-Ohtani either. I'm with you. I don't want either of Vlad or Ohtani in the top seven, though, because my reasoning falls with you, Zach, that the utility, I don't want to fill my utility this early in a weekly league. Now, if it's a daily format, Ohtani's arguably number one.
Yeah,
I would say number one. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
This is know your format. Daily leagues, he's number one because you're getting both sides of him. And he was an MVP, but he put up amazing stats on both sides. And it was funny because he tailed off on the hitting side in the second half, but picked up on the pitching side.
Yeah, he did.
His walks went from like 4 per 9, 4.5 per 9 to like under 2 per 9. So it was like a huge difference. But then the hitting fell off. So it's like almost, I'm wondering if fatigue set in, but like we all know that Ohtani just didn't get pitched to at all. He had like 30 home runs in the first half, like 13 in the second. I just looked at his splits. This is the reason why I know stats so well. But people might not know that Vladdy kind of like a small step back in the second half. You know, no more was Dunedin. They went back to Toronto. That's playing more as a pitcher's park now with the humidor. And he dropped about 30 points of batting average or 20 points of batting average in the second half from like 313 or something to 285. I think he's a 300 hitter. I really do. But there's still the fact that it was a step backwards in the second half. And now I still expect Vlad to be that four category guy, but we're hoping for him to be peak Arenado type, which is doable. Vlad has the skill set to do it, but in today's day and age where speed is still increasing in terms of necessity, I think Vlad should be going. It's like Vlad, like for me, Harper over Vlad, but it's like I have to consider Mookie or Vlad because I'm just not sure about Mookie. I'm sure Mookie's healthy. He will be healthy. I just haven't heard anything lately, but yeah. I think Vlad should be at the back end of the first, not at the top of the first. So that's what my concern is.
Moving on to like the second round hitters.
You mean you don't want to stay talking about the first round?
We don't have to keep harping on the top 56.
Why not? Well, I mean, fine. 15th overall, Mike Trout. Does he belong there? Keep it there. Real quick.
I'm not taking my person. Not
that isn't that crazy how the mighty
it is. Fallen? Yeah.
Just can't Zach. Stay healthy. It's just so frustrating. I don't think I've ever rostered Mike Trout, honestly.
This would be the year.
It depends how far he falls. I mean, what, the max pick for Trout right now is 29. I mean, if he's fallen that far, like, sure, I'll take a shot on him. But the injuries are concerning. He's not running anymore. I mean, the guy hasn't stayed healthy. I mean, he hasn't put up, what, 600 plate appearances since 2014? I mean, he just can't stay on the field. It's just frustrating. A lot of it's been freak injuries, but what was last year? Was it a shin injury? Like, calf. I don't know. Calf? I didn't even realize.
It was the back part of the leg. You were close.
I just don't know how that could keep you out that long. It's just frustrating.
He had a setback, and then by the time he was ready to come back, they just shut him down.
It's just tough to trust him at this point. There's other options in that range that are more trustworthy. I mean, Bryce Harper is going around that area. I'd rather have Harper. Trust him more. Mookie Betts.
All right. What about Luis Robert, George? What do you? I'm torn on Robert. I'm pretty sure. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There was injury concerns coming in. Like he had a 2019 where he stayed healthy, but prior to 2019, didn't he have injury concerns in the minors? And then now we're seeing injuries rear their ugly head in the majors as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Luis Robert. Now, is it
Robert? I give up. I want to know
Robert.
It's Robert. I don't. Okay. if I get yelled at, it's your fault. Because I swore the whole thing got rescinded, and he was like, he made it easier for us to say it in English and all that English in the English language. Anyway, fine. Luis Robert. Go ahead, George. Sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan. We saw what he did last year after, you know, he came back, and yeah, maybe he does have a little bit of injury risk. But yeah, I think he's a stud. You look at him and like Kyle Tucker, who's going in the first round. And I mean, I think they project very similarly. So yeah, I mean, I don't mind it. I like him a lot.
Yeah. After he came back, I got the stats here. Actually, I can pull them up real quick. After he returned from the IL last year, he posted 12 home runs with 2 stolen bases, 17% strikeout rate. So seeing the improved contact rate was really encouraging. This was a small sample though. It was like, what, like 30 games or something. Hit 350 with a 622 slug. It was nuts. Only 3.6% walk rate, but a WRC plus of 173. Again, we're talking very small sample, but even if he runs hot and cold, which we expect Robert to do with his profile, if his hot months are going to be that, and his cold months are like, you know, you weather the storm with him in roto leagues. He's not a points league guy, in my opinion, but in roto leagues, I'm all about it. Do you have any trepidation when it comes to Robert?
Just to provide some clarification, Jason Benetti, the White Sox play-by-play guy, he said the pronunciation is Robert, not Robert.
Okay,
like Robert Duvall, Robert Frost, it's Robert. So just to clarify, how we're going to say it.
I'd say it's a legit source. Go ahead.
What was the question? Sorry.
You're so useless.
I was more intrigued by the pronunciation. You went from
very useful to completely useless. Real quick thoughts on Luis Robert. Are you concerned about his injuries? And are you willing to draft him at right around this ADP of 18?
No, I'm not that concerned. Yes, I'm willing to draft him in this spot. Anything else I can assist with?
Yeah, my FPAS DC, George was in it. I took him, I think, right around here. I took him in the early. I had the second pick of the second round. I took Robert. Paired him with Bueller, not Bueller, no, Burns. Burns, that's who I paired him with. I like that start. I hate how my team turned out, but I like the start.
Do we think that Robert is going to be hitting at the top of the lineup? Because obviously that would be...
I hope so.
Ideal. I think right now on roster resource, he's slotted in more towards the middle, 5 or 6 hole. But I would love to see him and Tim Anderson at the top of that order. I would really love that for fantasy implications.
Absolutely.
You know what? How about we do this? How about we look and see where he was hitting towards the end of the year? Pretty sure it was towards the top. I could be wrong. I think they finally put him batting second towards that. But yeah, they did. Towards the end of the year, they had him batting second from like 819 all the way to the end of the season. He either led off or batted second all but 2 games where he batted fifth. So I think there's more of a likelihood that he bats towards the top unless they sign somebody, or is there somebody coming back? I don't remember. Jimenez, Grandal, Abreu, Moncada. I think Moncada is one who fell because he's just kind of been whatever.
Got Vaughn on the bench. I thought this lineup was honestly deeper. Did they lose somebody?
Vaughn.
Cesar Hernandez.
Vaughn's on the bench. Wow. Didn't see that coming. Yeah. I don't think that's actually going to stick either. But anyway, I feel like there's somebody. I can't put my finger on it either. Something seems off.
It does. I think Cesar Hernandez was the second baseman, maybe more at the top last year. I don't know.
No. Adam, what's his face? Adam, what's his face?
Eaton.
Eaton was at the top of the lineup for most of last year. Maybe that's what it is. And then we had a little bit of Hernandez up at the top as well. And then Robert replaced him at the top.
Anyway, moving on. How about Freddie Freeman right around 19?
Freddie Freeman? What team is he going to play for?
Somebody God, me. Why is this taking so long for him to sign? And well, why are the Braves are going to this up, aren't they?
I love how you inserted the mute button myself.
Oh, man. If Freddie Freeman is a Dodger, I'm going to lose it.
Oh, God. Or a Yankee. That's the last thing anybody wants to see.
I wouldn't care. I just want to see. I hate that we have to wait now for these guys to sign.
Yeah.
Like, we had all this fun, all these quick signings, and now crickets. JV needs to sign again. So waiting for Story. But yeah.
Chris Bryant.
I think Freeman is who Freeman is. I don't think he's going to fall off this year or anything. I think where he's going is perfect. And he's a reminder, like, why am I taking Vlad when I can get I mean, he's not quite what Vlad is in the power department, but Freddie gives you 30 with a 300 batting average roughly. So why not just wait? Like, I don't need Vlad's skill set for 10 more home runs possibly.
Yeah.
When, especially if Freddie goes to New York, where the short porch will be his best friend. So yeah, I'm looking at Freddie as like a solid round two option if you want that skill set there. Moving on to Machado's kind of like, I'm trying to think, Semien. Do you think Semien should be falling after that the signing in Texas, George?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my initial thought was like, I mean, you know, that ballpark's obviously hurt like his power a bit. Obviously
everything
not
but speed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you kind of got to knock everything but the speed because, you know, the Rangers are a team that will run. So, I mean, yes, right here, back end of the second. It's a bit too high. I could see him falling, you know, into the third and fourth is probably where I would be comfortable taking him. But yeah, definitely not here at his current ADP of
12. I can't believe they didn't pick on him as 12.
No, he actually went 10th in my DC that I started a couple days ago. And I mean, I don't know. It was good.
I guess it's not completed yet.
Yeah, it's not completed yet.
So that's why I haven't registered.
10 is
but absurd. Yeah, Cleveland. What? Oh, because I'm looking at them. Texas was tied for fourth with Miami, actually. That's why Miami's a good spot for like Avi for running. But Texas was tied for fourth in steals last year. And I believe in 2020, the short season, they were like top two or three. I'm double checking that right now. But point being, they were fifth. They were tied for fourth again in 2020. Point being that they were top five at two straight seasons when it came to running. And that's what you like to see. So Semien might sustain there. I think he'll fall a little bit. The guy I like a little more than him that's going right behind him at this point now is Cedric Mullins. I don't expect him to repeat 30-30, but a 20-30 season is within the realm of possibility. He's going to continue to lead off. The team around him is getting better, so the runs should be better. And I'm pretty sure, I'll double check if he was efficient. I'm pretty sure he's pretty efficient on the base pass last year. So efficiency is huge with stolen bases. I don't even look at sprint speed anymore because intent and success rate is what I look at. And if you're able to attempt all those bases, all those steals, he got caught 8 out of 38 times. So not terrible. Wish it was a little better, but still good enough. My point being is I think 30 steals is still very realistic as long as he's leading off for the Orioles. Does anybody have any issue with this price for Cedric Mullins?
No, not at all. He actually fell to me in the third, and yeah, I don't mind it at all. I mean, 27 years old, he's in his peak years right now. I mean, I don't think there's any reason that, you know, 2020 will be his floor. It's not going to hurt you. So yeah, I don't mind it at all.
Yeah, all right. I like the spot for him too. And it's interesting back to back right here. We got Cedric Mullins and Starling Marte, two very similar players. I think I probably would go Mullins over Marte. I mean, Marte. I haven't talked Mets baseball in a while, and I'm still not ready to. But Starling Marte just came as quite the surprise, that signing. But I mean, the Mets are not a team that really has been running in recent years. I mean, granted, they really haven't had anybody like Marte who can run like him. But my concern is that he's just not going to have the free rein to run like he has in the past, whether it be with Miami or Oakland or even Pittsburgh. So I don't know if he gets to 40 stolen bases. I really don't. I just don't know if I love the team situation for Starling Marte fantasy-wise. I think I would prefer Mullins. I think Mullins has more upside than Marte for this year.
And Marte, people, I think, almost overlook or just kind of ignore it at this point, but he is known for his injury. You know, the injuries are a potential there.
He's always out like 20 or 30 games or something every year.
32 years old, I think. So age isn't on his side. Speed usually declines as players age. I know, very, very novel concept, but I feel like it needs to be said out loud. I'm still not fading Marte, but I'm with you. I will take Mullins 10 times out of 10 over Marte.
And let's be real, he's a Met now, so things are bound to go wrong.
So he's out for the season, yes. You love your Mets, and you loathe them.
No, I do but, not.
Okay, fine. Starling Marte or the guy going five picks after him, or four picks after him, excuse me, Whit Merrifield?
I think I probably would prefer Whit Merrifield, personally.
George?
Yeah, I think the thing is, the thing is with Witt is that you know you're getting 162 games, right? I mean, he's, you know, 700 plate appearances in three of the last four seasons. You know, obviously 2020, shortened season, but three straight years, three straight full seasons of 700 plate appearances. You know, so, I mean, two of those seasons, he had 40 steals. So, yeah, and he's got, you know, second base eligibility. So I think, yeah, I also prefer, I would also go Witt.
Why are you sending us fantasy football messages to the chat? Why?
Because fantasy football is so important.
It's we're heading towards the playoffs, I understand. But we're talking fantasy baseball, and you literally chatted the group.
Thanks for blowing up my spot.
I don't care about that. But yes, Pollard was a must play tonight. Regardless, fantasy baseball, I'm with you. I think Witt is the play there. And a lot of it is not only can you count on the playing time. We saw the stolen bases again last year. But dual eligibility, second base, outfield. I think people like underestimate how important that is in certain platforms and certain formats. And he offers that. And second base, although it might not be as bad as it once was, having the potential to put him at two spots is a big deal. So I'll take Whit Merrifield as well. And I think the skill set that you're aiming for with Marte, you can get out of Whit, plus those levels of safety we discussed. So, but what really catches me off guard already, and I don't think it's going to, I don't think this trend, I don't think these guys are going to drop any. I think it's going to get worse as injuries happen, but maybe it's, maybe it'll, what will even out is as injuries happen to relief pitchers, we see more guys named the closer. So it helps it out. The balance will be there, but Liam Hendricks and Josh Hader, 30th and 33rd overall, you got to spend serious equity.
Crazy.
To grab them. Either of you interested in a closer at this
point? Oh, right. Man. You know, I can maybe see myself getting one to start the third if one is there. But I don't like getting a closer at this point in the draft. The thing is, I mean, this is where they're going. And like you said, it may even just get worse. You see Hendricks with a min pick of 16, Hader with a min pick of 25. We're going to start seeing these guys, yeah, in the end of the second. One of the drafts I did, I had gotten Nola and Alcantara at the 2-3 turn, I had been planned on getting one of these guys with my pick in the third, and the guy drafting at the turn took them both, Hendricks and Hader, at the 2-3 turn. So, I mean, man, it's just, yeah, there's so much uncertainty right now. You know, you still have Kenley Jansen that, you know, doesn't have a job. The situation with Craig Kimbrell is kind of up in the air. You know, you got guys like Camilo Duval, who got a lot of hype, who right now, you know, is going around, you know, round 9, round 10. But yeah, there's so many question marks in the closer landscape that I don't really blame anybody for trying to solidify their saves at this point. For me, I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel too, like I'm perfectly fine just waiting another couple rounds and getting an Emmanuel Clase A or Raisel Iglesias or Edwin Diaz. I mean,
I want Iglesias, but now that Ryan Presley signed a 4-year deal, so Iglesias' ADP is about to jump up 10 spots probably.
Yeah.
Like, George, have you ended up with Hendricks or Hader in any of your drafts so far?
No.
But he targeted them once and didn't get them, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't get him. The one draft I would have taken one, I didn't get him. But no, I've ended up with like Ryan Presley in the fifth round, who I really don't mind. I mean, super solid too. And you got to think that, you know, Houston may be losing a little bit of offense this season, that maybe they don't blow everybody away and he gets, you know, a few more saves. So yeah, like guys like Presley, like I mentioned, Diaz, Clase A, Iglesias, I have no problem taking those guys in like the fifth round, right around where they're going, where Chapman. You would need to take them. Yeah, Chapman, you know, obviously has a little bit more risk, but yeah, I mean, you got Chapman going there, ADP of 84 right now. So I don't mind taking, you know, getting maybe two of these guys. Maybe for me, like I have no problem. If Craig Kimbrell's falling, I have no problem taking Craig Kimbrell, because you got to think that, yeah, I mean, just the whole narrative, you saw him struggle in the setup role. The White Sox picked up Kendall Graveman, the writing's on the wall, you know, they're going to be moving him, and 100% you got to think that whatever team is going to be acquiring him is going to be acquiring him to close games. So, yeah, I'm trying to get two. By the time it gets to Craig Kimbrell, I'm trying to get, you know, two closers.
Wouldn't surprise me if Kimbrell ends up on the Phillies. I feel like Dombrowski has traded for him before. I feel like he might try to make a deal once things are back up and running again. But yeah, I think Kimbrel gets dealt. I think a team like Philly or somebody who's in dire need of bullpen help is going to get him. And yeah, I think that's a good bet. Where'd you say he was going?
Well, his ADP is 131. If he's traded, it'll go up. That, for sure. That automatically goes up into the 80s, 80s, 90s at least.
Yeah, George is our bullpen guy, our relief pitcher guy. So when he talks relief pitchers, I even shut up and listen.
Call to the arm pen.
The arm bar. These are arm bar specialists.
Not the arm pen.
Arm pen. arm pen close. What I have,
I mean, look at this ADP with the closers. I mean, Hendricks and Hader that high just seems ridiculous.
I think every year there's like one or two guys going in that third, fourth round area, though. So I'm not really surprised. And Hader, I think in 2020, we saw him go in the first round in one draft.
Yeah. I mean, you could wait till, like George was saying, like Presley in like the fourth or the fifth. I mean, you could definitely wait until those rounds to address your first closer. But God, I can't believe we're up to like 15 was a min pick for Hendricks. That's just insane.
We saw Hader go in the first round in 2020. That's why I'm not surprised at this point. All right, before we get out of this, before we answer these questions, I have a few names I want to touch on real quick. Mostly the shortstop run at the end here, right towards the bottom of towards the end of this top 50. Tim Anderson, we know what he's going to bring us. There's a little injury risk there, but there's power, speed. He'll get you close to 2020. I understand the ADP. Then you have Bogarts, Story, Lindor, and Wander. Four different, very different players, three of which are vets that have proven themselves that had kind of down years. Like Bogarts kind of had a iffy finish. Trevor Story just never got going. Weird BABIP, unlucky BABIP stuff with cores and everything. And he's a free agent. We don't know where he's playing yet. And then you have Lindor, first year of a mega contract, which we've seen guys like Harper, Machado. Like these are recent history guys that like struggled their first years of a mega deal and then turned around, and now we have Harper as MVP and Machado's kind of been Machado. So I think there's better days ahead for Lindor. He did finish better than he started, at least. But regardless, and Franco I want to say for last, but these three guys, George, you've been drafting. Have you found yourself with any of these three guys? Do you have a preference here? Are you skeptical of any of them?
I mean, for me, the three guys at the top, Tim Anderson, Xander Bogarts, Trevor Story, I don't mind taking any of those guys. Trevor Story all day. I'm in on ADP of 42. I absolutely love that. I think he's an absolute steal right there. I mean, he's going to be the one that I think, you know, is the safest to probably go 2020. We always think of Tim Anderson as that guy, but he hasn't really been doing it. He hasn't gone 2020.
Can't stay healthy.
Right. And he hasn't put up 2020 since like maybe 2017, 2016. And it came with like a 240 average. It's before he became the hitter he is right now. But I mean, you know, he's much improved. But the point stands. I mean, he still hasn't really been a 2020 guy. Trevor Story, on the other hand, I mean, even with a down year last year, still hit 24 homers, 20 stolen bases in what was an absolutely unlucky season for him. I mean, we think of Coors Field as, you know, Colorado is going to inflate BABIP, and every single year it's, you know, his BABIP is 345, 361, 354. Last year, 293. I mean, yeah. He's not a 251 hitter. He had a career low strikeout rate, 23.4%. And I mean, his contact rate also was zone contact, 86.1%, career high. He was absolutely unlucky. And even, you know, even if he leaves Colorado, which, I mean, it's going to happen. He's leaving Colorado. But the point being, he was incredibly unlucky last year. And he's a much better hitter. And no matter where he goes, I think he's still a safe bet to be a 2020 guy. You know, if he's 2020 and 270, he's still an absolute steal here at 42. So I absolutely love Trevor Story's price. Franco and Lindor, the ones that I don't know, man. Like Franco at 48, yes, he has an incredible hit tool. He can hit 300, but can he hit 20 homers? Maybe. He's not going to steal very many bases. Maybe he goes 2010 and 300, which is an, you know, usable player, absolutely, but not someone that I want to take here at 48 necessarily. So yeah, and then Lindor, I'm just kind of, I don't know. I have no idea what to think of that situation there with Lindor.
Lindor is weird, man. Career low BABIP last year, career high strikeout rate, but the career high strikeout rate for Lindor was only 18%, 18.3%. But he also had a career high walk rate of 11%. So he was a little more patient at the plate, and the BABIP just took a dump on him. I think we see closer to a 260 hitter. I mean, he hit 258 in 2020. I think he could still be that 260, 270 guy. In a down year, he still put up 20 home runs and 10 stolen bases in just 125 games. So that would have still gotten him more stolen bases, more home runs. I think you'll still get 25-15 type of numbers out of him easily, in my opinion. I'm still in on Lindor, but I do prefer Story as well. And I was looking at Story's numbers while you were talking about him a little bit. And on the road, he does, you know, for the career. Now, again, it's not fair to sit there and look at someone's career numbers solely from course, because he's going to be able to go there and play at a regular field the full time. But he was still with the crazy splits, roughly a league average player, WRC plus of 98. But the big thing is he didn't hit as much home runs, but he stole more bases on the road. So the stolen bases should be there. That's kind of what you're drafting him for anyway, knowing that there's a floor for home runs and batting average. Even if he hit over his career away, it was 241. A 241 batting average, say he did that for a full season with a new team, isn't terrible in today's game, but you're getting 2020 with it as well. So I think the floor is 2020 with 240. Absolute floor, because that's kind of what he's shown us he could do on the road in his career, which again, you can't just take the career road number,
right?
But yeah, Lindor, you gotta think better days are coming, right, Mets fan over there, Zach?
I think it'll be a better year two for him. I really was expecting struggles last year as well, but year two, I think he'll be a little bit more comfortable. Hopefully he stays a little bit more healthy. Like you said, I think a 2015 floor, it should be pretty reasonable for him. Maybe with Marte at the top of the order as well, maybe we do see them run a little bit more this year. So as long as he could stay healthy, I think we'll see decent numbers. I mean, going around pick 50, I mean, he was going what last year? Probably top 20. So I think that's pretty good value, honestly, at number 50. Trevor Story, I've always been a huge fan, like you guys were just saying. My question with him is where he ends up. I really just don't see like the logical fit. I thought I could see him maybe with the Rangers before Seager signed, but I just don't really know where he ends up. Like, could he possibly go to the Giants, play third base? Awesome. Could he go to the Mariners and play third base? I just don't see. Could he go to the Astros maybe and take Correa's spot? He's going to be a much cheaper option than Correa. If he goes to the Astros, I would love that, by the way.
Yeah,
but there's just not a ton of openings at shortstop anymore. I don't think the Yankees are going to spend for Story or Correa. He's not. I hope he doesn't go back to Colorado. I really also thought he just kind of was just annoyed with the whole Colorado situation in the second half, and he really just kind of lost interest. And I think he's just ready to move on. And I think we can expect a big year from him. I just don't know where that's going to be. And the ballpark factors. I mean, there's a lot of different factors with fantasy implications. But I don't know. Where do you guys see Trevor Story ending up?
What if Boston decides to say screw it and do it? Like, Boston
was on the table moving Bogarts to second.
They've been disappointing their fan base. You know, like trading Renfro, who's solid bat, solid glove last year. You know what I mean? Like, I have a hard time. I'm looking at it, and I almost want to see the Mariners do it, but it would suck for him. The Astros would be a fun fit. The Dodgers with their, you know. They didn't make any. They were so quiet. I'm surprised. And they could use, you know, they have Turner at third base still. Where would he play? They just re-signed Chris Taylor, but I think they want to keep Taylor in that utility role. So they could put Story at short or second and Turner at short or second.
I wonder if the Angels try to add another bat.
I don't think they have the money. Do they have the money for that?
I think they always have money.
The Angels would make a lot
they of do
sense.
Tend to blow money. That would be a fun. That would be a great spot, because then you put them in that area with, like, you know, you have Trout, Otani, Rendon. Love that with Story. I would love that fit. I just don't know what to expect. I mean, outside of them, I mean, the Cubs just got Stroman randomly. That was the most random move of the offseason.
Another one that I could see. I could actually see him possibly reuniting with Arenado in St. Louis.
That's been the talks, but I don't know. Are they going to want to spend up? You know, the Cardinals.
A lot of teams really just seem to be open to spending money this year. Like, you see the Rangers dropping a shit ton of money. You see the Tigers dropping money here. I mean, a lot of teams that typically haven't been spending are ready to spend this year. So it's cool to see.
He definitely fits over there in St. Louis. But what St. Louis needs is a lefty. I just pulled up their team, and they have two switch hitters, and the rest are all righties. They could use a lefty in that lineup, but not saying that they shouldn't go out and get Story, because it's a great fit, because they have Edmundo Sosa currently plugged as a starter, or Paul DeJong, whichever one, you know, but they're both righties, and they're both not Trevor Story. So Trevor Story would fit really well there. But, yeah, the last one I want to talk about real quick is Wander, and George hit the nail on the head. My big thing is the stolen base is I'm concerned about because of his lack of success. First off, he only stole two bases last year in a short period, but they both came in the first 8 days that he was up. He didn't steal a single base after those first 8 days. And then if you go look at his success rate, because I'm big on success rate, how much will Tampa Bay run him if he doesn't fix this? Because he's been, let's see, 2018, 4 stolen bases, 3 caught stealing, almost 50%. 14 stolen bases, 9 caught stealing in 2019 in A ball, not even like, and then high A, 4 stolen bases, 5 caught stealing. Triple A, 5 stolen bases, 4 caught. You see where I'm going with this? He's never had a really good year being efficient on base pass. So have all the speed you want, but is a team that wants to play the money ball mentality, are they going to let this guy run in to outs, especially as they trade away players, you know, do their thing, platoon, etc.? I just don't. I mean, Wander's safe. He's going to play every day, no questions asked. Probably hit 300. I see 20 to 25 home runs. Maybe I'm thinking 10 stolen bases because the speed's there, but that's if I'm just afraid. What if the Rays are like, nope, you're not running unless you can show us you don't run into outs? And I know that's speculation. There's no reason to think that right now. Nothing have I ever heard say that, but it's the success rate or lack thereof that concerns me. And he was 2 out of 3 last year. So I don't know. It's like he stole 2, attempted one more, failed, and they didn't let him run anymore after that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
so that's what I wanted to bring up about him.
It's like, why not just take Jorge Polanco 30 picks?
Well, because Jorge Polanco is not a fun or sexy pick. That's one. That's exactly what it is. Real quick. Sorry, I didn't want to talk about this guy, but we got to. Mondesi, in or out? 47th overall. We know streakiness. Speed is up there. The dude can literally win you steals in any given month, but he just can't stay healthy. They're talking about not playing him every day already. Who's it? Who's buying in at the price? It's dropped. It's down for now. Going around 50th overall, just about.
I'm out.
I'm out at that price.
Out. I'm out too. I can't see myself taking him over Lindor, Story. Even Tyler O'Neill, who's another guy that I have a hard time buying into him repeating, man. He's the only player to have a strikeout rate above 30% and hit 30 home runs in a year and hit 280 in the process. The next highest was like 265, and it was this year as well with Javi Baez. So it's like you have to, if you buy into Tyler O'Neill, you're buying into he can succeed with his swing and miss profile, which is similar to a Baez. So there's like for every one Baez, there's like 9, like he's 1 out of 10 that succeed with that profile. You have to hope O'Neill is that guy too with his current swing and miss profile. And I don't know if O'Neill is that guy. So I'm afraid, but if I'm desperate, I might fall back on him for speed. But I also don't, I have a hard time taking him over Lindor, another proven commodity. So yeah, that's the top 50. Kevin Gausman's there, but I don't think anybody really cares about him right now. we can talk about him another day. I want to answer these questions real quick. One of them is by our boy Fish. He wants to know when I'm going to get into a draft. Now that he said that, I think I'm going to talk to you, George, and Zach, if you want to get in on this one. I'm probably going to try to get into a DC with some friends sooner than later over the next week.
Tag team one. I need a co-manager or something here.
Oh, God.
I'm always down to draft.
Me and George. screw you, Carolyn. We'll get in the same draft. Me and George are going to tag team against you.
Okay, do whatever you want.
And then you'll lose interest by the end.
Well, in DCs, it's easy. All you got to do is draft and set your lineup twice a week. It's very, very simple.
But you're not going to set your lineup.
Pile of Dial, one of my favorite people on Twitter. I really love that guy. He asked that one. Let's see. Let's go on. I'm doing this on the fly. I did not write these down. At L. Barnaroo, I always mess it up, Casey, who plays first base for the Braves if they don't re-sign Freddie? And he wants to make it interesting. No Olsen or Rizzo as option. So
there aren't very many good options out there. I mean, the Yankees have been wanting to get rid of Luke Voit. And I mean, I don't know.
Did they go out and trade for Mancini?
Maybe, you know, can Austin Riley move over to first base and maybe they sign someone like Kyle Seager? I don't know. Can Kyle Seager play first base? Kyle Seager can maybe play first base. He took away all the fun options.
We're over here scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, oh, I guess we can do this. Like, Susugo would have been a fun one to bring up, but he just signed. There's not really much. That's like I'm gonna say if he wants like an answer, I think the best bet is we see. I don't think they're, but they're not big. I don't see the Braves trading. I want to say Trey Mancini. They go out and just get Trey Mancini. And say screw it.
Kyle Schwarber.
What if they sign Chris Bryant?
Chris Bryant. I don't think they'd make that big of a splash.
I don't see them making that big of a splash.
Schwarber was rumored to the Rockies, right? Like they were interested or something.
Mm-hmm. Rockies are interested in everyone.
I think Schwarber would be a fun fit there. Do they need a lefty? We'll look at their lineup. I mean, they're that's a team that has money to spend. They have, most of the young guys they have tied up in contracts, like long term and fair priced. I could see. I like that Schwarber call because they have one switch hitter and all righties in that lineup. So not only would Schwarber be able to play first base for them, but he'd also be able to give them a lefty bat that they desperately need. I'm gonna go with Schwarber. I'm gonna go with you, George. You brought the name. I'm gonna take credit and use them.
Yeah, that'd be a fun one.
If they don't get Freddie, obviously Freddie makes the most sense, but Schwarber was a good name drop. I like that one. Anything better, Zach, or are you just going to copy us because I copied George the first?
No, I'm gonna say the Chris Bryant. I think maybe they make if they can't sign Freddie, maybe they put some of that money towards Chris Bryant.
Another righty bat, just what they don't need. That's the only thing. I'm looking at this. I'm like, they just need lefty. Anyway, but that's so – Chris Bryant would be so much fun there, too.
They need to sign Freeman.
Enough. Michael Simeone. Asked first off, he lied about being a longtime listener. Actually, he was, and then he joined us. He was a co-host, and then left us because he's too much of a big time guy and doesn't care about us anymore. He left us in the dust, Mr. Simeone. I will never forgive you. He wants to know if I know about Ian Happ's second half, and it's a joke because I brought it up like five times at first pitch to like five different people because it was like one of the first players I looked into, so I was super intrigued by his second half. But yes, Ian Happ had a big second half. I wrote up a whole article on him, actually. One of the only offseason article I've done so far. It was a crazy thing. He changed his mindset. It was more than just baseball. He had to change his approach and his mindset, and it was a really good article in The Athletic, which I linked in my article, which you can find on skplaybook.com. So that's a cheap plug there. I told Mike he's lying about the first part. Where would you be comfortable drafting Ketel Marte to return positive value? That is from Aaron. At Fantasy T-Ball. Where's he going? Let's see. Ketel is going at... Oh, I can't look him up under first baseman.
Yeah, so he's going 84.
84, yeah.
Yeah, ADP of 84. Perfectly fine taking him there. I mean, he's probably one of the only guys you could project for, you know, close to 300 average. Second base outfield eligibility. He's got power. Right, it's the health, right? Yeah, it is.
I have a hard time taking over... Like, Brandon Lau... I think he's more of a toolsy play, upside play there. Chris Bryant is sitting right there.
My target, like even around that area or a little bit later. I love Jonathan, man. He's ADP of 101. Great on base skills. You know, he's going to lead off for the Reds. You know, he could pop, you know, 25 homers. He's going to steal more than Marte. You know, I'm not sure how much Marte is going to run. Jonathan India could steal, you know, double digit bases, 20 plus homers and, you know, hit 265, 270. He's going to get on base a ton, score, you know, 100 runs. So I like Jonathan India personally.
Jorge Polanco or Ketel Marte? I'm going to say Ketel because it's like lesser of the two evils, in my opinion. Like they're both injury prone. They both have the upside. I don't know if I trust Jorge Polanco any more than I trust Ketel Marte to stay healthy. And I'm just always going to back my guy. I'm a Ketel Marte guy. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I do. I like Ketel Marte. I'd love for Ketel Marte to find a new home, right? Get traded.
Which is very possible. That team's not competing, realistically.
Yeah.
So I would prefer, I think, but see, the thing is, though, is because I don't see much difference in Ketel and Jorge, and I don't, and all that, I would want Ketel to be closer to that 90 spot because I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're taking him all at 80, you're passing on a closer in Chapman. Dylan Cease is right there. I'd rather have him in a vacuum. Charlie Morton, he should be back in time. I'd probably rather have him in a vacuum. It becomes like I want him like right around that Chris Bryant, Brandon Lau, JD Martinez. I think Marte belongs about 10 picks later. So because of that, I'm probably not going to be in on him. And I hate to say that because – again, I just gave you four names that more than likely I'll be, because especially knowing how I build teams, yeah. I think I'm going to be taking a pitcher in this area more than likely. Because, yeah, it's a big just crapshoot of hitters. Like, why would you take him? Because right now, again, Marte doesn't steal anymore. Why wouldn't you just take the risk on Anthony Rendon going outside the top 100 with a similar skill set in terms of batting average with a little more pop, same injury concerns, and like, and a better, he's actually on a better team with better opportunity for counting stats. I just don't see why not. Like, I understand the dual eligibility. I don't know. Now I'm thinking I'm going way too much into it. The point was, like, I think I need to see Ketel Marte fall down a little bit. Thanks, Dust Mite, for the eyes. We're looking at you too, buddy. last question. Zach, I know you're not ready for this one, but I kind of want to see if you could scroll down to pick 500, between 500 and 750, and pick a name or two that you think is going to be doing anything next year. Because I know you haven't looked at drafts at all, so it's really funny for me to just see if you have a name at all that you just look down there and say, you know what? That's a guy. While you're looking, maybe George could drop a name or two.
I mean, I've got a few already. I mean, Clint Frazier's going 500. He just signed with the Cubs. I mean, if he can stay healthy on
he's
the field.
He's going to go higher now because he signed. But that's
it's not going to stay at 500. But right now, if you draft tomorrow, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I like Yoshi Susugo. We kind of name dropped him a little bit. 509. He should be getting everyday playing, everyday at bats between first base and DH there. Really showed some potential there in the, down the stretch for Pittsburgh with everyday playing time. So like Yoshi Susugo that late. And we're talking about like drafting holes. You're not drafting these guys like in a fab league where these are more guys like, you know, wait and see and you'll pick up with fab. But like for in these DCs, you know, this is where you're getting these guys. Frazier was a good one. Let's see, just going down this list. Harold Ramirez. Harold Ramirez, another one who, you know, can Chicago unlock, you know, can they unlock some power from Ramirez? Because, you know, he has a pretty decent hit tool. Just like everything's like on the ground. let's see.
Dude, talk about Susugo real quick. Reason why I wanted to bring him up, in the second half compared to the first half, it's like night and day. The ground ball rate dropped like 10%. He had a 36 WRC plus in the first half, a 134 WRC plus in the second half, a 268 batting average with a 883 OPS. The first half cut both of those in half, essentially. 155 batting average to a 451 OPS. A strikeout rate was 10% better in the second half. He still walked a ton both halves. Point being is that he was a whole different player, and I think just getting a change of atmosphere, playing every day, little to no pressure on the Pirates, and now he went back there. I do think better days are ahead for Susugo. And I think, remember, he came over as like a highly touted power hitting guy from what, Korea, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Or it was one of the teams over there. And I hate it if I'm wrong. I do apologize. But Susugo is a guy that we shouldn't just write off after, you know, a couple bad, after a rough start to his US debut. So I really like that pick. That's why I wanted to make sure I brought that one back up. And there's a guy that I'll just never quit. And maybe this is the year he finally gets playing time. But I want Seth Beer on my team. I just do. I've always been a Seth Beer guy. And I've drafted him like three straight years. And he finally saw the major leagues last year. And in five whole games, he hit one home run and batted .444 with a .600 BABIP. Totally sustainable. But let me see where he's going. I know he's going pretty damn late.
While you look that up, I got a few names here after just scrolling through this list.
567. 595 is he's just the 567th player listed. 595 ADP. Seth Beer, give me him. He's going to play every day. No, but if you actually look at his minor league numbers, back-to-back seasons in 2019-2021 with 16 home runs, he struck out 20.7% of the time or less the last two seasons, only striking out over 20.7% of the time once in his minor league career. I love good plate discipline, a guy who's always hit for a decent average in the minors, a little bit of pop, no real speed, nothing flashy. But for Arizona, he should play, especially if they get the utilities position. So,
what were his numbers in his cup of coffee last year with the team?
No, I was exaggerating. Like, it was funny. It was like he played five games, had 10 plate appearances, so he didn't even start all the games. He just showed he took at bats and he had 10 plate appearances in five games. 30% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate, bat hit .444 with a .600 BABIP.
Sweet.
Yes, with one home run.
I like it.
I got another one. Go ahead. I have another name too.
A few that I just noticed scrolling through this list here. From what I've been hearing on some podcasts and the limited research that I've done.
Limited, like 5 minutes
of doing it right now. The AFL name that everybody was talking about, Juan Yepez at 513. If if the DH does come to the NL, I think he could be a big benefactor of that. Lewin Diaz at 5:30. If the DH, I mean, Aguilar probably goes to DH, and I think you could see Lewin Diaz as a full-time first baseman. I think with full-time ABs, I mean, we could see some good stuff from Lewin Diaz over there. We saw some pop in the minors. I like that at 5:30. Another Marlins. I'm all about the Marlins, apparently. Zach Thompson at 5:55 going to Pittsburgh.
What? You know, so he got traded. Yeah.
I'm saying in Pittsburgh now. Yeah. I mean, who else is he going to compete with over there? He's going to be in that rotation. Definitely a decent arm to take a chance on in DCs. At 5:40, Mike Soroka. I don't know the exact timeline for his recovery with the Achilles, but if he is going to be back by like maybe May or so, it's definitely worth the risk there. Two other pitchers quickly, Mike Lorenzen going around 600. I'm intrigued. He went to a perfect situation with the Angels.
I think they're going to let him start too, from what I recall. Yeah,
they're going to let him start, and he wants to get some ABs as well. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do that. He can play some outfield, so that's an intriguing option. And then last one, Emilio Pagan at 6:12. Melanson just signed with the D-backs. So for our bullpen guy, I mean, who do you think is going to be closing in San Diego? Do you think we see Pagan get a shot at some point?
I don't know. I think they bring somebody in. Right now, Roster Resource has Pierce Johnson closing. But no, I think the Padres bring someone in. Maybe they go after Craig Kimbrel. And a sneaky name that, you know, I could definitely see landing in a spot where he could close. Got a lot of hype in drafts last year and then missed the whole season. But Trevor Rosenthal, I could definitely see, oh, you
that
know,
was your boy.
The Padres bringing him back.
Painful.
Yeah, he's a sneaky one that I'm, you know, keeping an eye on. Yeah, I could definitely see him. You see, like, a team like Texas. I mean, are they going to roll out Joe Barlow after picking up, you know, Marcus Semien and Corey Seager? I mean, maybe they sign someone like Trevor Rosenthal on a cheap deal, and he's closing for them. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't think that the Padres closers on their roster, and unless they want to make, like, Nelson Lamet the clear. I mean, that's possible, too.
I just wanted to talk about the fact that Jordan Lyles is down here, and I could never draft Jordan Lyles after finding out today that Miles Straw had 4 home runs last year. 2 of them were against Jordan Lyles. So I can't ever draft him ever again because of that. And I was like, that is hilarious, and I feel bad for Jordan Lyles being that guy. But, you know, I feel the need to double check that, but I feel like I wouldn't make that up either. You know what I mean? Like,
That's a good note to finish on.
Yeah, Jordan Lyles. I'm double checking. I actually have the
screen. Jordan Lyles, there. You're not good.
Jordan Lyles, 2 home runs given up to Miles Straw, 2 out of his 4. Yeah, well, that, and I'm not going to end on that because I wanted to make sure I brought up the actual player I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Pache real quick for late speed. Like, if you just need like a late speed upside guy, he should get another shot to start for the Braves. Probably bat at the bottom of the lineup, but there is speed there. But that's pretty much it. And Rougned Odor, like, he signed with the Orioles, he's probably gonna play dual position eligibility, second, third base, empty power at this point. He hasn't stolen base since 2019, so I'm not gonna expect much in terms of stolen bases. But there should be some playing time there. And when you're that late in DCs, you want to secure at bats, and he should get them probably in that 5-7 range in terms of the batting and in terms of the order. So it's not going to be the worst. I don't expect him to hold a job all year, but I do expect him to get at bats and be relevant in deeper formats for most of the year. So that's it. Yay. We recorded a podcast, guys.
See you next year.
Yeah, next year. Technically, yeah. Next month will be next year. Well, that's going to do it for us over here at the Bases Loaded Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Zach, thank you for gracing us with your presence. You can follow him on Twitter at BraffZ. George, the man, the myth, the legend. You can follow him on Twitter at @Roto_Nino. And I'm the guy who just doesn't shut up. You can follow me on Twitter at @Mike_Curlin. We really do appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We just had a lot of fun. It was nice to get back to talk to everybody. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys soon.